This morning, as I said, we come to the last installment of our series, I Am a Church Member. And the core of what we have seen in this series is that to be a biblical, functioning, healthy church member, it should be our goal. And that every believer in Christ is called of God to be a biblical, healthy, functioning church member. But what the Bible means by membership and being a church member is different from what we mean when we say membership of civic organizations or other institutions. Because as the Bible teaches, we become members of God's church when we come to faith in Christ. It's not something that you can earn or something that you can pay for. You become members of God's church when you come to faith in Christ. Now, you might have felt a little bit differently this morning when you arrived at church and it looked like you had to pay to get in. Had to get a ticket to get into church. That was kind of a funny feeling, wasn't it? But imagine if we did that every week. Imagine if we just had to sign up and said, hey, you pay enough, you can be saved. You pay enough, you can be a member of a church. And what if you showed up and you couldn't pay enough? And we said, well, sorry about that, off you go. You can't get saved and go to heaven and you can't be a member of the church. Aren't you glad God doesn't work that way? Because God says that salvation is a free gift of God in Jesus Christ, that He's already paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're going to revisit that in just a moment this morning. Sometimes we feel like we're not good enough. Sometimes we feel like we're not among the elite or the lucky ones. And sometimes we look around and we see other people in church and their lives seem to be going really well, and we wonder about our lives, you know, and we wonder maybe if God would do more for us. But we have to remember the starting point for all people is that God loves you. And God loves you so much that He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you. We are all level at the cross. We're all level at the cross. There's not the lucky ones there. There's not the elite. We are all level at the cross. I read recently the Washington Post ran an article. It basically said if you had hopes in your lifetime of going to the premiere of a Hollywood production, of being one of those folks that gets to sit in there and be the lucky ones and the elite to sit in on a Hollywood production the first time a movie is shown at the premiere, if you had hopes of that, the Washington Post said, you might want to give up those hopes. Because now it seems that premieres are moving from California all the way to the East Coast to Washington, D.C., that now the place for movie premieres is Washington, D.C., because now Hollywood wants to cater to the lawmakers, to the elite, to the politicians, to the wealthy that congregate in Washington, D.C., so they're opening up those premieres in Washington more and more, and the Hollywood elite come there, and the actors come there. They just sort of descend on Washington, D.C., so everyone can look at everyone else and say, aren't we the lucky ones? Aren't we the best ones? Aren't we the elite and the well-off? Aren't you glad that we're here? God says to you and me, I love you. Oh, you're a sinner. God says, I know you're a mess, but I love you. It's not the lucky ones that get into the kingdom of God. It's not the elite that get into the kingdom of God. It's the ones who turn around and face God and say, God, you're right. I'm a mess, and I'm a sinner. And I need Christ. And Jesus Christ has already paid the way for you. Paid the way for you by His blood to receive eternal life, to be forgiven of your sins, to have a home in heaven, and to know God personally. I'm almost giving away my whole message in that synopsis, that summary this morning. So let's wrap up our message series. I am a church member this morning. And consider this one truth this morning together, that church membership is a treasure. It's a gift that God gives us when we receive Christ as our Savior. It's a gift to be treasured. Church membership is not a duty. It's not a religious action. In biblical terms, functioning, healthy, biblical church members understand that church membership is a great gift of God, something precious He has given to us when we came to His Son Jesus and received forgiveness for our sins. God gives us the gift of church membership. Return with me this morning to the book of Ephesians. It is familiar ground in this message series as the Apostle Paul describes for these young believers in a city called Ephesus what it means to be a church member and how they became that way. And we just want to look at a few passages through Ephesians chapter 2 this morning that will help us understand this great gift, this treasure of church membership. For example, first I want us to see this morning that God gives us the gift of church membership by grace. God gives us the gift of church membership by grace. It's not something you and I can earn. It's not something we work hard enough for. It's not something we get because we're the lucky ones. It's by the grace of God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Again, familiar ground, but so powerful. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, as the Apostle Paul says, "For you are saved by grace through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not from works, so that no one can boast." You're saved by grace through faith. You who are saved, that is, as Jesus would call it, born again in Christ, that happened to you because you came to Christ and by faith you received eternal life. And Paul says this is even ground for everyone. No one gets to brag or boast. No one gets to say, "Well, I am so good that God gave me a home in heaven without me having to give my life to Christ. I didn't have to repent of my sins. I didn't have to ask for forgiveness. I am so good. God likes me so much that I didn't have to do that." Well, you know, you had to do that, but I didn't have to do that. No one gets to say that. Paul says nobody gets to brag. Nobody gets to boast. Nobody gets to say that my good works made it possible for me to go to heaven, for me to be forgiven of my sins. No one gets to say that. It's by grace through faith. Every person who comes to faith in Christ is saved. If you come to me this morning and you say, "Pastor Bob, I want to join fellowship with First Baptist Church," and I'd love to hear you say that, but I have a question for you. Are you saved? Because joining the church at First Baptist Church doesn't make you saved. This is not a civic organization. You don't get to buy your way in. This is the body of Christ. And every person who is a biblical member of the body of Christ became such when they were born again in Jesus Christ. When they said yes to Jesus Christ, when they said, "I need to be saved, I need to be forgiven of my sins, Jesus saved me from my sins." And He does that when we come to Him by faith. Now you might be sitting here this morning and you realize, maybe you've known a while, that you have never taken that step. You've never trusted Jesus Christ for your salvation. You may wonder, how do I do that? You may be thinking, "Well, I just thought, you know, church membership was like any other membership, and it's just another place I went, and I only had to come once a week, and I only had to do the religious thing, and I pay my dues, and I work hard, and God's happy with me." No. Because between you and God, there is a glaring gap, and in the middle of that gap is your sin. And God says, "You are not good enough. You're not good enough. I don't care how many times you come to church. You are not good enough, and no one is good enough to get to God." So God came to us in Jesus Christ. So the Bible says the first thing you have to do if you want to be saved is to admit that truth. Admit, folks, you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. As long as you sit there and you say, "No, I'm pretty good. God's happy with me." Listen, you cannot be saved. You can't. Because it starts with the fact that you know what God tells you, that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. The Bible says that everyone has sinned. No one is good. Everyone has come short of God's standard, God's glory. I don't know about you, but everyone to me pretty much means everyone. So you say, "Okay, I admit that I'm a sinner, then what?" Well, the Bible's very clear. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And by believe, it doesn't mean read a bunch of books and believe that He exists. It means you trust Christ with your life and your salvation. You put your life in the hands of Jesus Christ and you believe that He died on the cross because you're a sinner, so He died for your sins. And you believe that God raised Him from the grave and He's alive today. You believe with all your heart. And you say, "Jesus, save me from my sins. And I trust Christ. I trust Christ." The Bible says over and over how a person is saved. They believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Bible says you confess that truth and you commit your life to Christ. The Bible says, confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave and you will be saved. Oh, isn't that wonderful to know? Isn't that wonderful to know? If you will turn and face God today and admit that you're a sinner, if you will say, God, I cannot save myself, but I know Jesus Christ died on the cross to save me. And God, I believe that Jesus did that, and I believe in him for eternal life. So God, I'm giving my life to Christ today. God will save you. And when he saves you, you know what? You become a member of the body of Christ. You say, Pastor Bob, can I do that? Yeah. I'm going to help you do that right now. Right now. And I'm going to pray a very simple prayer out loud that if God is leading you to receive Christ today and you've never done it, you pray this prayer in your heart to God, fully believing in Christ for your salvation today. Put your faith and trust in Christ by the vehicle of this prayer, and God will save you today and forgive you of your sins. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Now, if you're already saved and you know it, pray for folks around you. Pray for folks around you because somebody in this room needs to pray this prayer, and you might know who it is. Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that I can't save myself. But God, I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. And I believe that he's alive today. So dear Lord Jesus, I put all my faith and trust in you to save me today. Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins and save me. Change my life. And today, Lord Jesus, I commit my life to you. Nothing holding back. I repent, turn away from my sins, and I give my life to Christ today. In Jesus' name, amen. And a little while at the end of the hour, if you prayed that prayer with me, as we come to a time of commitment, I'm going to ask you to let me know about that decision and that commitment. And if you prayed that prayer of decision just now, or if you prayed it in years past, that's how you, by God's grace, became a church member. Secondly, God gives us church membership in Christ. It's by grace, but it's in Christ also. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. By now in Christ Jesus, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were far away have been brought near by the blood of the Messiah, that is, by the blood of Christ. Now pay attention to that. You give your life to Christ as we prayed a prayer that you gave your life to Christ and be forgiven of your sins. You know what happened next? When you said, I believe Jesus died on the cross for me, you were saying, I believe his blood paid for my sin. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. And when you prayed that prayer, you said, I believe that, God. I agree with you, God. Now what Paul is saying then, what happened is, you were saved and God brought you near because of that blood of Christ, because he sacrificed himself for you. You know what just happened? You just entered into a relationship with God in Jesus Christ. That's what that one verse means. In Christ, you now have a relationship with the God of the universe because you believed in Jesus, because you trusted him as your Savior. And because of that, you have a relationship. And you could not come to Christ before, you could not come to God before, and you came to Christ. Now God has come to you. It has been salvation and a relationship with God. God has come to you and brought you near to him. I have news for you believers in Christ. You wonder sometimes what happened to God, where he went, he didn't go anywhere. He has come near to you in Christ. If you put all your faith and trust in Christ, you can't get rid of him. And if you're sinning against him, he's the one making you miserable. But he has come near to you and brought you into relationship with him. That's the great treasure and the gift of being born again in Christ and being a spiritual member of God's body, is that you have a relationship with God in Jesus Christ. And then third, God gives us the gift of church membership for eternity. Chapter 2 and verse 19. Chapter 2 and verse 19. So then, now that you've come to Christ, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. The whole building being put together by him grows into a holy sanctuary in the Lord. You also are being built up together for God's dwelling in the Spirit. You know what Paul is talking about here? He's talking about a great spiritual mystery that you and I cannot possibly understand, but which all followers of Christ, all born-again believers, participate in. We don't understand it, but we participate in it. We participate in the fact that when you came to faith in Christ, you were made eternally secure in Jesus Christ for all eternity. Your salvation is secure in Christ. But that also means you are now spiritually brothers and sisters in Christ with every believer through all the ages and around the world today. The technical term for that is the universal church. It means that all over the world, all believers in Christ are spiritually connected because we are all the church. We are all the church. It means that a church is not a bunch of religious people that get together on Sunday. A church is an assembly of the saints. And wherever the assembly comes together all over the world, we are spiritually connected right now to believers all over the world. You have brothers and sisters in Christ who right now are being tortured for their faith in other countries. Are you praying for them? You have brothers and sisters in Christ who right now are hurting, brokenhearted in China and Russia. They are underground serving the Lord. You have brothers and sisters in Christ of every race, of every denomination, of every economic status, of every education level, all over the world. You are spiritually connected because the church belongs to Jesus Christ and is the body of Christ all over the world. But get this, did you hear what Paul said? The apostles, the prophets, you're now spiritually connected to them. Your brothers and sisters in Christ with Abraham, with Moses, with Deborah, with Ruth, with Esther, with Zechariah. Paul is your brother in Christ. John is your brother in Christ. Peter is your brother in Christ. Mary is your sister in Christ. And they're all part of the church. And you're all part of the church. Not because you paid dues, or you worked hard, or you showed up well-dressed, but because you were born again in Christ. And now for eternity you are spiritually connected to all. The Bible teaches that those born again in Christ are also local believers who make a place, an assembly of saints, and they come together to worship in one place, the local church. We call this one First Baptist Church of Shiloh. And they come here to serve and they come here to fellowship. And all over the world, believers are doing the same thing on Sunday morning, getting together in their local congregation, assembly of the saints, to serve and to worship and to fellowship. Your brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world right now are worshiping just like you are. All over this county right now are worshiping just like you are. The Bible says that God has given us an extraordinary gift, a treasure, when we were born again in Christ. He connected us through the ages with every other person who had believed in the God of the Bible for salvation and trusted Christ for salvation. That's your family. That's the universal church. That's the people of God. And you and I get to be a part of that. We get to be a part of God's great kingdom and God's great work because we've trusted Christ. Isn't that good news? You know, you and I sometimes think about our little lives, and we look at our little lives and we think, we're not making a lot of impact. We get up on Monday and we go through the work week and we have our quiet time with the Lord and we're here on Wednesday night to study God's Word, all good things. We serve the Lord in service in the church. We teach or participate in Bible studies. We lead our family and we do our best to lead them to know the Lord. And we return again on Sunday to worship with God's people in this local church fellowship. And we look at our lives and we think, sometimes, maybe. You know, what difference does it make? Well, I got news for you. God is using you. You are connected to the church universal, to the saints of God throughout the ages. You are no small thing. And God knows precisely what He intended and what He wants to do with this precious gift of salvation, this precious place in the church, this great treasure that He has given you. The question is for you and me, are we seeing it that way and participating with God in the great plans He has for us? Or do we sit back and say, what difference would I make? What difference would I make? I got news for you. God wants to make a difference in your life and intends for you to make a difference in your lifetime for Him. For Him. This morning we're going to do two very symbolic things in our commitment to Christ. Two very powerful and symbolic things. The first one is the one that Jesus Himself gave us. He did. We call it communion because it represents the one thing that all believers have in common, as some traditions call it, the communion of the saints. It's when you and I remember, as Jesus told us to, every time you do this, you do it in remembrance of Me. He said, it's when we share in the bread and in the cup, we're reminding ourselves that everyone in this room, connected to every believer around the world, what we have in common is a Savior who died on the cross for us, and we would not be here, and we would not be born again and saved had Jesus Christ not died on the cross for us. So this is a celebration of His death and His resurrection for our forgiveness of sins, as He paid for that by His body and by His blood. So in a few minutes when that bread goes by, that's a symbol of His body. And He said, when you take it and you eat it, you remember My body was broken for you. And when that cup comes by and you drink from it, Jesus said, when you drink from this, you remember My blood was shed for you, for your salvation. And every time you do it, you remember every believer in Christ does it together. Because that's what Jesus' death on the cross, that's what makes us the body of Christ. The second thing we're going to do at the end today is we're going to use these commitment cards. This is the wrap-up for our message series. And you'll see that every single one of the commitments we have talked about is represented on that card. And I believe that God's been speaking to all of us. I believe that God has shown us already an area that He wants us to commit ourselves to. A pledge, as the book says, He wants us to make so we can serve Him as He intends for us to do, so we can be a part of what God has called us to do. And I want to challenge you this morning at the end of the hour to check one or more boxes and to put your name on there boldly and say, this is my commitment. And at the end of the hour, I'm going to ask you to come up and put this on the altar, and we're going to pray for these commitments today before we dismiss. And you'll notice one of the commitments on there says, I commit my life to Christ today for the very first time. That's for those of you who prayed that prayer with me, or maybe you have prayed it before and never taken that step of decision to let somebody know, never follow through with believer's baptism. I want you to check that box and bring it personally to me, and let me help you with your decision today. And we'll come back to that in a few minutes, but I'm telling you about it right now so you can prepare for it and go ahead and check the box that God is leading you to check or has been talking to you about through this series. Being part of God's spiritual family, being part of the body of Christ, what a powerful thing. And God has called us to do that together in this time and place. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, now we transition, God, into this wonderful, powerful symbol that Jesus Himself has given us, God, that we would remember today, Father, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. His body was broken. His blood was shed. But by that blood, Father, You gave us the opportunity for eternal life. Father, I pray for each one in here, God, who has received Christ as their Savior, that today, God, we would reflect personally on our lives, God, and the commitments that we have made in light of what You've taught us and what You've shown us in our relationship with You. So, God, speak to us this morning through the sharing of the communion, the Lord's Supper. Speak to us, God, through these elements, God. Show us if there's anything between us and You, Father. Show us that. And we would ask forgiveness for that as well today. God, bless this time as we share in it. In Jesus' name, amen.